Our scripture reading for this hour's lesson is found in Job, the 14th chapter. Job, the 14th chapter, and the first verse. Job 14 and 1. Job, in making a reply, says, "Man that is born of a woman is of few days and full of trouble." Well, once again, a pleasant good morning to you. Boy, it is a glorious Lord's Day. I was just thinking on the way over what a difference a week makes. We were freezing. I was freezing to death last Sunday. Now, here we are. The Lord blesses and blesses again. We're so glad that you are here as we assemble God to worship and in truth. There were three individuals. One was a genius, one was not, and one was middle intelligence. And they were being chased by the law. And they're driving on some old country road, and they decide to pull in to an old farm and run into the old barn, and they hide in stacks of hay to try to escape from the coppers. And the police follow them in the barn, and they walk up to the first pile of hay where the genius is, and they start to kick the pile of hay, and the man inside the hay yells out, "Arf, arf!" They say, "Oh, there's a dog in there. We won't disturb him." They go to the next one where the medium intelligence guy is, and they kick it. And he goes, "Meow, meow." And they go, "Oh, there's a cat. We won't disturb it." They get to the final pile where the not-so-smart man is, and they kick it. And he goes, "Potato, potato." And they say, "There he is." Okay. This morning, I want us to talk about a very simple truth that I'm afraid we as Christians sometimes forget. Simply stated, that God is there in times of trouble. Now, we think about God being there in the happy times, in the rejoicing times, but dear friends, we need to remember that God is still there even when things may not seem to be going our way. We often feel overwhelmed when things are out of control. I'm a firm believer that human nature, we want to be in control of things. And by default, we are not in control. In fact, we sing a song, "This is my Father's world. It's not my world, and I don't want it to be my world. I don't want to be the ruler over this world. I don't want that responsibility on me." But we sometimes don't like it when we seem like we can't do anything about life. And too many times, feeling overwhelmed happens to us when we see the path of life and maybe we veered to the left or maybe we veered to the right just a little bit. And we start to seem more overwhelmed when we're not necessarily following what God has said to do. Yet luckily for the Christian, God is there in the day of trouble. Even when things are not going our way and it seems like the enemy's winning and they're advancing faster than the righteous are advancing, God is still there in day of trouble. And I want us to look at that today. We're going to figure out what God does in the day of trouble, look at some examples, and then finally figure out what do I do in the day of trouble. So first and foremost, what does God do in the day of trouble? Because I could just get up here, read Job 14:1. Man is full of, his days are full of trouble. God is there in trouble, offer the invitation song. And that would be a true statement. But I want us to see, what exactly does God do? If you're in the book of Job, the next book is the book of Psalms. Go with me to the 20th Psalm, if you will. And verse number 1. What does God do in day of trouble? He answers. God answers in the day of trouble. David is the author of this psalm, and he says, "The Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. The name of the God of Jacob defend thee." Isn't it nice that we as Christians have the opportunity to speak to God? And that He, if we are faithful to Him, He hears what we ask. He hears our petitions. And that does not go away, dear friends, when we're facing adversity. God does not quit listening to us. God does not quit answering prayer when things go wrong for us, when the way gets rough. No, God is faithful. God does not change. That means He's going to answer you when days are good. He's going to answer when days are bad. Now, keep in mind, sometimes His answer is no. But that's still an answer from God. We see that God answers in the day of trouble. That's what David says. Flip over to Psalm 50. in verse number 15. Because not only does God answer, God delivers. God delivers. God brings deliverance, if you will. Asaph wrote this psalm, Psalm 50, and verse 15, he says, "And call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me." So Asaph is recording the word of the Lord. We see that in verse 1 of this psalm. "In the day of trouble, I call out to God. He answers, He will deliver, and with that deliverance, we reciprocate that, and we glorify Him." Dear Christian, do you ever think about when God has brought you through the valley, when you get out on the other side, you should thank Him? And when you didn't get out of the valley as quickly as you did, do you think you should still turn around and thank Him for walking with you? Is that not what Psalm 23 says? "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For Thou art with me." That's deliverance. Sometimes deliverance is Him just walking a step or two ahead of us. See, He answers and He delivers. But let's stay in the book of Psalms. Go to Psalm 59 and verse 16. David writing this one again. Psalm 59 and 16. "He is our defense and our refuge. I will sing of Thy power. Yea, I will sing aloud of Thy mercy in the morning, for Thou hast been my defense and my refuge in the day of my trouble." You know, a lot of people's strongholds in the world, a lot of their defenses are built a house upon the sand, and they don't have a firm foundation. Yet we have a great defense, that great rock, that great shield. He is our rock, in Him we hide, a shelter in the time of storm. He is our refuge. And isn't it nice when the world is not being fair to us? And let's be honest, it happens maybe more than we'd like to admit. But the world's not a fair place. It's never meant to be. It's a place of wickedness. When the world is not fair to us, we can go for shelter and defense in God's Word. And we can call out to Him in prayer, knowing that He hears us. So He answers. He delivers. He is our defense and our refuge. Let's go out of this book now. Go to the book of Nahum, if you will. Nahum 1 and 7. He is our stronghold. Not only is He defense and a refuge, a stronghold. Nahum 1 and verse 7. Nahum is one of those prophets that'll trip you up if you're doing biblical crosswords, because the clue will be five-letter prophet that prophesied to Nineveh, and they're never looking for Jonah. Because Nahum also prophesied to Nineveh. So as Nahum is out there talking to Nineveh, in verse 7 he says, "The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and He knoweth them that trust in Him." I think about a stronghold, a secure building, a secure fortress, if you will. I like going to national parks, historical sites, and every now and then you can go to one that maybe used to be an old military fort, or what's use, or what remains of it. And you can see how they tried to make themselves so strong, so impenetrable, that the enemy could not take them over. And I find it interesting to compare the ones that were successful and not. You can see there was a big shift in their ideas, because some of them didn't really care if the enemy took them over, and some did. Well, here the Lord, in our day of trouble, is our stronghold, meaning the enemy can't get us. We are safe. We are secure. And then I love the last clause of this verse, "And He, the Lord, knoweth them that trust in Him." Isn't it nice to be known by God? We're known by name even. We know Him. He knows us. Jesus talks about that in John 10 as well, when He says, "I am the good shepherd. The sheep hear My voice, and I know them, and they know Me." See, the Lord in the day of trouble is our stronghold. Now, Satan in the world, when he's giving you this day of trouble, is going to want to make you hold on to him. But he's not strong. He's weak. He only has limited power. But God has all the power. So he's an answer. He will give a deliver. He is our defense, our refuge, our stronghold. But finally, the book of Habakkuk. The book of Habakkuk. Really just a page over or two, at least in my copy of Scripture. Nahum, Habakkuk chapter 3 and verse 16. Habakkuk 3 and 16. When I heard, my belly trembled. My lips quivered at the voice. Rottenness entered into my bones, and I trembled in myself that I might rest in the day of trouble. When he cometh up unto the people, he will invade them with his troops. Dear Christian friend, you're getting weary in this battle. I know it happens from time to time, but the Lord provides rest. There's nothing better than when you've had a long week, a long whatever it may be, and you can just sleep and rest. That's one of my favorite things to do. The body knows when you need sleep, and there's nothing better when you can give that. And then you wake up refreshed. You wake up anew, and even if you're in the middle of dealing with something, a good night's rest, you can go in and conquer it. At least that's my mindset. See, the Lord gives us rest. Now, physical rest, we're ultimately thinking about that spiritual rest where no days of trouble will be, and that's heaven. So what does God do in the day of trouble? He answers, He delivers. He is our defense and our refuge, our stronghold, and finally, He gives that sweet, sweet rest. But don't just take my word for it. The Bible is full of examples of God being there for people in the day of trouble. I'm just going to put all these up here, and we're just going to kind of talk through these, run some of these references. You remember the story of Joseph, right? Flip over to Genesis chapter 39, verses 2 and 3. Genesis 39, 2 and 3. Joseph was sold into slavery. God was with him, raised him up. He winds up being second in command over Egypt. He is working with a man named Potiphar. And that's where this story picks up. In Genesis 39 and verse 2, the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man. He was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw the Lord was with him, and the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. God allowed the works that Joshua was doing while he was working for Potiphar to be successful. Potiphar's wife did not like this. She wants to trip Joseph up. She winds up making it look like there was an affair, although there wasn't. But she tries to trip up the people. Look here in verse 21. The Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. So he's been thrown into prison. But now God is still with him, even in prison. Verse 23. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him. And that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. Even when Joseph was dealt a bad hand, an affair accused against him, thrown in prison, yet God is still with him. God still delivers him, and he winds up, Joseph, to kind of spoil the rest of the book for you, he saves not only his people, but he helps feed all of Egypt for 7 years. And providentially, he gets his father into the land of Goshen. So he does a lot of good work. But see, God was with him. Think about Joshua. Flip over to Joshua chapter 6. The book of Joshua begins with God giving the enemies into the hands of Joshua, who took over from Moses. And in chapter 2, they go spy out the land of Jericho. Chapters 3, 4, 5, and 6, the people were not ready to conquer Jericho, so he has to train them. Well, first, they have to be circumcised. They have to do certain things. And then they get to Jericho, and God says, I'm going to give you the city of Jericho, but you're not just going to take it all at once. You know the story, right? You're going to march around the walled city once a day for 6 days. On that seventh day, you're going to march around it 7 times, keeping in mind you're not to talk at all during any of these times. On that seventh time, on that seventh day, the priest will call, you will blow your trumpets and shout, and the walls will fall down. Now this was 13 laps. 6 days, one a day, seven on the last, six, seven is 13. To me, that's God strengthening them, because these are a group of men who in the chapter before were circumcised. They need to build up some strength. See, God knew what they were about to do. And so they shout, and without touching the walls fell. Look here in verse 27, the last verse of Joshua 6. So the Lord was with Joshua, and his fame was noised throughout all the country. Did Joshua go through days of trouble? Yes. And no doubt the people of Jericho were mocking. They were laughing, thinking, what in the world? These crazy people, especially on day two, when they come back and they still don't touch anything. I mean, he went through a lot. Yet God was still with him, in days of trouble. What about with David? His father-in-law Saul hated him. Actually wanted him dead. Go with me to 1 Samuel chapter 18. Pardon me. 1 Samuel 18 in verse 12. Saul and David don't get along because David was more pleasing in the people's eyes than Saul was. Yet Saul was the king. And David, the Bible says, was afraid of Saul. Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with him. And the Lord had departed from Saul. Verse 14, David behaved himself wisely in all his ways, and the Lord was with him. Did David go through days of trouble? Yes. I read about them a lot in the book of 2 Samuel, and in 1 Samuel, and in the book of Psalms. David went through a lot of days of trouble, but he still relied wholly on the Lord. And he knew that God brought him strength. God brought him deliverance, and that's why I love the Psalms. That's one of my favorite sections of Scripture, because more times than not, it's David or whoever the author may be. He didn't write all of them, about half of them. But it's David just pouring his heart out to the Lord for help in his day of trouble. And a lot of the Psalms, they begin on a low point, and then they end on a high point. They begin low, and then deliverance comes, because he sees the faithfulness of the Lord. But see, David was protected because he was doing what God said. And so God was there for him in the days of trouble. Let's go to those three Hebrew boys, shall we? In the book of Daniel, Daniel chapter 3 and verse 25. You know, sometimes when we do the right things, dear friends, we stand out. And it makes other people look at us. And sometimes for doing the right things, we wind up being punished. At least that's the story that happens here to Daniel's friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They're about 18 years old at this point. And at about age 12, they're plucked up from where they'd lived their entire lives. And they were thrown over into the land of Babylon, given new names to try to erase their identities. And they were told, after King Nebuchadnezzar's built this 90-foot-tall statue of himself, one of those kings that likes to hear his name said every other word, and they said, when you hear the music, you are to bow down and worship. They said, we're not going to do that. So you got to think, at all these millions, hundreds of thousands of people, everybody else is bowing down, and when three are standing up, well, they kind of stick out like a sore thumb. But dear friends, we as Christians are not supposed to look like the world. We're not supposed to act like the world. We are supposed to be separate, distinct, set apart. Makes me think of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So they're cast into the fiery furnace. But before that, they appear before Nebuchadnezzar. And he says, I'll give you another chance. Bow down now. And they said, we won't. And even if our God doesn't protect us, we still won't bow down. Look at verse 25. They're thrown in the fiery furnace at seven times hotter, or literally as hot as it can go. It is so hot, the men that threw them in were consumed by the flames. They may have spontaneously combusted. It was so hot. That's really hot. But notice here, the king looks down. What do you see? He said, I see four men, and they're loose, walking in the midst of the fire. They have no hurt. And the fourth of them is like the Son of God. They were thrown bound, and now they're walking around. And the fourth is like the Son of God. An Old Testament reference to Christ, no doubt. They had deliverance in some shape, form, or fashion, and he could see that. And he said, I threw in three, and I can count to three, and there's four. They come out, they don't even smell like smoke. Nothing is singed on them. It's like they've never been in there in the first place. See, God was there for them in their day of trouble. Why? Because they were faithful to him. Go to their friend a few chapters over, Daniel chapter 6. Daniel's an old man at this point. We've gone through a couple of different kingdoms. He's probably about 80. Or on up there at least. I've read conservatively 80. An older man. Well respected though. Except for those who are immediately under him in power. So they concoct a decree to catch him and worshiping God. Because they know he's not going to break the law. So they catch him while he's praying. Because he prayed morning, noon, and night every day. They knew it. And so they catch him praying. And they made it illegal to pray to anyone except for the king. So he's thrown into the den of the lions. And he's supposed to spend all night there in the lion's den. And in the morning, King Darius runs over there and yells out, Daniel, are you okay? And he says, I am here. Notice here verse 22. My God has sent his angel. And he shut the lion's mouth, that they have not hurt me. For as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, I have done no hurt. That wasn't just one lion. Now, I've read commentators who try to argue against God's miracle here. And they'll try to say that these were either old lions, or they'll try to say they had just been fed. Dear friends, if you would just read the Bible for what it says and quit trying to concoct your own ideas, you'd live a happier life, and we'll tell you now. These were normal lions, and they were hungry. How do I know? If you drop down, let's see here, verse 24. The king commanded and brought all those men which had accused Daniel, cast them into the lion's den, their children, their wives, and the lions had the mastery of them, break all their bones in pieces, or ever they came to the bottom of the den. Now this doesn't sound like old fed lions to me. These were hungry lions who hadn't eaten all night. See, God was there for Daniel in the day of his trouble, and he provided protection and gave us a wonderful Bible story, right, for VBS. Daniel made it through the lion's den okay because of God. Let's go to the New Testament. Two examples, then we'll move on. Go to the book of Acts chapter 12. Here the chapter talking about being led by an angel. Peter's been preaching, and surprise, surprise, Peter's arrested for preaching. That's kind of the underlying story of the first handful of chapters of Acts, being arrested for preaching. Well, he's going to be released from the prison, and it's not going to be by a man. Notice here, behold, verse 7 of Acts 12. The angel of the Lord came upon him, Peter, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, Arise up quickly, and the chains which were on him fell. Which would have made noise, but it didn't wake anybody up. And the angel said, Gird yourself, put on your shoes, your sandals. And so Peter did. And they said unto him, Cast your garment about thee, and follow me. And Peter went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true. He thought it was a vision. And he gets out, and all of a sudden he's out of the prison. See, Peter was there in a day of trouble. He was arrested for doing right. And yet God brought him deliverance. God literally freed him from prison miraculously. So many different things going on. The fact that nobody heard him. The fact that the chains, when they fell, didn't make noise. But God brought him out in the day of trouble. Why? Because Peter trusted in the Lord. Peter had called out to him. Let's see about Paul one more time. There's been an uproar in Jerusalem in Acts chapter 23. So much so that those enemies of Paul wanted to kill him. They wanted Paul dead because they thought, we can't stop people from listening to him, but if we kill him, there goes our problem, right? That's wrong, but that seems like that's what enemies of Christianity have always thought, because they tried the same thing with Jesus. We'll just kill him, get rid of the message. So here the Lord appears unto him by night, and notice what he says, Be of good cheer, Paul. For as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so also thou must be a witness unto me at Rome also, or also at Rome. This was assurance to Paul that he's going to make it to Rome. Now, was it an easy trip? No. Did God just pick him up and put him in Rome? No. But God promised him, you're not going to die in Jerusalem or anywhere else along this journey until you get to Rome. See, God was there for Paul in the day of trouble. That's a good list. What is that? 7, 8? That he's there in the day of trouble? Guess what? He can be there for us in the day of trouble as well. So that leads to our final question. What should I do in the day of trouble? Now, God's not going to tell me to walk around a building to have the walls fall. He's not going to put me in a fiery furnace and loose me. He's not going to put me in lion's den and shut the lion's mouth. That's not what he's going to do. But what do I need to do in the day of trouble? We go back to the book of Psalms here. Number one, I need to seek the Lord. And to me, that almost seems like it didn't even need a point. But we must start with the Lord. In the day of trouble, first and foremost, I've got to seek after Him. Psalm 77. Asaph writing, he says, In the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. My sore ran in the night and ceased not. My soul refused to be comforted. He's talking about difficulties that were going on with him. And yet, even in the midst of all these difficulties, number one, he sought the Lord. Was he going through things? Yes. Was he in a battle? Yes. But number one, he sought after the Lord. Dear friends, I'm afraid too many times we don't get the results we're looking for while we're facing something. It's because we fail to include God in these plans. We don't seek after Him. No, we need to seek after the Lord. We must find Him. Now, good news is He's never far away. In fact, He's always right there. And the Bible paints the picture of He's always there, within an arm's reach to us to call out to pray to love and to adore. Number one, we seek the Lord. Number two, I've got to call upon Him. It's not just enough to know where He is. I must make a request unto Him. Go to Psalm 86 and verse 7. Psalm 86 and 7. Here David says, "In the day of my trouble, I will call upon Thee, for Thou wilt answer me." Dear friends, God demands obedience from us, even in the face of difficulties. God wants us to be obedient to Him when it's easy. And God wants us to be obedient to Him when it's hard. He wants us to do thus saith the Lord when all our friends around us are making fun of us for going to church at 9 o'clock on a Sunday morning. And why we would do this and why we would do that and why we won't go to their event because we've got a Bible study or we need to be at home studying ourselves. See, God demands our obedience in every situation. And I'll now go back to our point two. God didn't tell Joseph, "You know what, I know you've been going through a lot lately with this false accusation. Now you're in prison, you can stop being obedient." No. He says, "You be obedient to me and I'll be faithful to you." That's been His message the entire time. So we must seek the Lord. We must call upon Him. We must be obedient. And then we end up in the book of John. Finally, I must turn to Jesus. I must turn to Jesus. Notice here what Jesus says. John 14, 15 and 16. One of the longest sections of Scripture of Jesus just talking. And it's sometimes referred to as the Olivet Discourse. What He says in the Garden of Olives. He's going to be betrayed soon. He knows that. He prays in chapter 17. And at the end of that prayer, Judas Iscariot walks in to betray Him. So these are some final words before the whole reason He came to earth was about to take place. Some parting wisdom. He says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." He says, if you want the peace of the world, you turn to the world. But I don't think you want that. He says, turn to me. I'm going to give you something that's different than what the world's going to give you. So what do I do in day of trouble? Number one, I have to seek the Lord. He's there. He's just waiting on you. Number two, I have to be obedient. I have to call upon the name of the Lord. And then I have to turn to Him. Turn my entire life. Not just my actions, not just my day, my entire lifestyle, my habits, everything. Turn that to Him. See, dear friends, God is there for countless heroes of the Bible. And the good news is He hasn't stopped being there for us as well. 1 Peter 5, 7, casting all your care upon Him because He cares for you. Dear Christian friend, I bring this lesson to you to encourage you to be faithful, to be more faithful. I know the road's not an easy road to go. That's fine. You can be faithful still. In fact, God demands it of you. But know He's there. He wants to walk with you every step of the way. Dear friend, if you're not a Christian, you're not receiving these blessings of God being there for you in the day of trouble, and you need to become a Christian today. Why would you pass up such a great blessing and benefit as this? To become a Christian, you hear, believe, repent, confess. Upon that confession, you're baptized, immersed into Christ, arise to walk in a new life. If you're not a Christian, why not become one? If you are a Christian, hang in there. If you need to repent of sins, you've gotten off path, it seems like you're just living a trouble-filled life, why not repent of those sins? We'd love to pray with you and for you. If we can help you in any way at all, whatever that need may be, we ask you please let it be known while we stand and while we sing.